Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. Thanks for forgiving me for continuing to do my radio show, even though I've got just a slight case, just a little bit of a one-third case of laryngitis. Not enough to keep me out of business, but just enough to make my voice sound a little bit different. So thank you for putting up with that. Let me introduce you to our new friend, Michael Stallard. Mike is the founder and president of E Pluribus Partners. It's a think tank that helps organizations increase employee and customer engagement. Very important topic for small business owners especially. He's the author of the new book, Fired Up or Burned Out, and he's our new friend. Mike, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. You know, Mike, I was telling the audience in the previous segment that if you take a company today, any business, a retail, wholesale, manufacturing, professional services company, doesn't matter. If you take that company back 20 years, that business 20 years ago would have a considerably fewer tasks to perform in order to be successful. Mm-hmm. Today, with all the technology, the internet, all the fast pace of the marketplace, all the different things going on, there's so many more things to attend to. And yet in small businesses, those same businesses 20 years later probably wouldn't have any more employees. In fact, might even have fewer employees. And for the dollar of volume, for the amount of business being done, because just because we have more things to do today doesn't necessarily mean that we have more money to hire more employees. So what that means is the employees we have, the people we have working with us, have got to be all pulling together efficiently, don't they?
Yes, most certainly. And I think the other thing, that's a good point, Jim, and I think the other thing to point out is so much growth has occurred in America in the service sector. So yeah. Many of these jobs are very people-intensive, but in terms of producing goods, they certainly have become less human capital-intensive because of the influence of technology.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, there was a time when small business owners could actually sell something that wasn't a commodity. You know, the very first when microwaves first came out, when various products first came out, and nobody had one of those. But today, almost nothing's new under the sun, and almost everything, virtually everything that small business owners can sell are commodities. And the only thing that's not a commodity, primarily in most small businesses, is the way we deliver whatever it is that we sell. And
right.
That takes the right people to do it correctly, doesn't it?
I think that's so true. And in my background is having been chief marketing officer for the private wealth management group of Morgan Stanley, our business really was people on the front lines. And so that's always interested me. How can we connect with our clients in a way that we build trust and cooperation and build a long-term relationship with them? And I think that's the challenge for every business owner who has people who work on the front lines directly with customers. How do you do that? And that's always been my interest.
So how do we do that? As small business owners, how do we get our people fired up so they don't get burned out?
Well, in our work, which we spell out in the book, Fired Up or Burned Out, we argue that when you look at leaders throughout history, this doesn't apply just to leaders in business. It applies to leaders in sports, leaders of nations, leaders of social sector organizations. But we believe that all leaders need to create what we call a connection culture so that, like you say, everyone is rowing together. Rather than a dog-eat-dog culture, we have a sled dog team that pulls together. And a connection culture is comprised of three elements. The first one we describe as inspiring identity, and that's when everyone in an organization is motivated by the mission, united by the values and proud of the reputation. The second element is human value, and that's when everyone in the organization understands the psychological or emotional needs of people. We can get into that in a little bit. That they also appreciate the positive, unique contributions of the people they work with, and they help their colleagues achieve their potential rather than think of them as competitors. And that's a really key part of that element. The third element is what we describe as knowledge flow. When everyone in the organization seeks the ideas of others, they share their ideas and opinions honestly, and they safeguard relational connections. And we help people remember. That's a lot of information to remember. Mm-hmm. We simplified it into a small formula that is vision plus value plus voice equals victory. When people have a vision of the company that they're proud of, when they feel that they are valued as human beings and not just human doings, and when they feel that they have a voice, that they're heard, not necessarily a vote, but at least that their ideas and opinions are considered, that really fires people up.
What I just heard you describe is an organization where trust lives, an organization without silos, an organization without fiefdoms.
Right. Yeah, it feels very much like a partnership, and it doesn't mean that that everybody has a vote, as I mentioned earlier, but you know, people have to have decision-making responsibility. But it does mean that people are respected and that opinions are sought and considered.
How do we make that happen? I'm the man. Let's say I'm running my own business, which I am, and as you are, and we're trying to accomplish this. Let's say I want to be a true believer, and I'm at your knee. Tell us, Mike, how do we make that happen?
Well, there are a lot of things you can do. We spell them out in our book, and people can go to our website. We have ideas out there, and we have a newsletter that they can sign up for at fireduporburnedout.com. Let me just share a couple. One is a real basic one is just getting to know people. And I think back to when I was younger in the workplace, I felt that I wanted to separate my work life from my life outside of work. But I've come to believe that that's just not healthy, that it really is good to build friendships in the workplace, and it's those friends that you can count on when you really get to know people.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts with getting to know their stories. Like I said earlier, you want them to... Everyone should feel like a human being rather than a human doing. And that means coming back and understanding just what's important to them in life and their hopes and dreams.
Well, recognizing, as you say, that they have dreams just like you do. They just happen to be spending part of their time with you as an employee. Hold on to that thought, Mike. Mike Stallard is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He and I will be right back. I'm Jim Blasingame. The Small Business Advocate is 20 after. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check those out when you get a chance. The first one is where you can find our newsletter and our blog and thousands of archives of past shows, and which we allow you to podcast, by the way, if you like. And, of course, we have thousands of articles and hundreds of Brain Trust members. Lots of good stuff there. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us and use it to your advantage. And, of course, don't forget to check out our knowledge base, which is askjim.biz. So that's where you can go and get small business answers right now. Michael Stallard is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the author of Fired Up or Burned Out. And we're talking about how to get your employees engaged, how to get your team fired up, as he said, and make sure that you're getting the most out of their passion. You know, Mike, you've hired these people. You're paying them to be there. Why not get everything that you can out of them? The cool thing about it is if you can actually find a way to get everything out of your people, it's actually good for them, isn't it?
Well, it is, and
it's not just you consuming them. You're giving them freedom to express themselves, aren't you?
Well, that's right, Jim. I think when you build good relationships in the workplace, it's a win-win for employers and employees, and it extends into their personal lives, too. And that's one thing that we found out through the training that we do is that people say, this really helps me not only in the workplace to protect those what we call relational connections, but it helps me outside of work, and it helps me with my family and my friends. And so we like to, in the book we have, we like to use stories, inspiring stories of leaders throughout history, leaders in sport like John Wooden or Phil Jackson or Mike Krzyzewski at Duke. We have a lot of sports stories in our book. But then we also have leaders of nations. You know, how did a 24-year-old queen who inherited the throne of England at a time when its treasury was practically empty and there were threats on her life. How did she turn that country around to make it one of the most powerful countries on earth over her 40-year reign? Of course, we're talking about Queen Elizabeth or the wealthy Frenchman who came to America and volunteered to fight in the American Revolution, Lafayette. It's amazing when you learn those people's stories and you learn about leadership and how... and really people skills and how to build a great team through these stories or stories of great business leaders like Warren Buffett. I think a lot of people know he's a successful investor, but they don't know how he is also a very successful leader. And it's interesting to study his approach or A.G. Lafley's turnaround of Procter & Gamble or Anne Mulcahy's turnaround of Xerox. Those are great stories that help us all learn about what brings out the best in us, what helps us and our organizations thrive.
One of the things that I'd like for you to talk to us about, Mike, is how do we get our people to let their creativity flourish? I just think that with so many tasks to do, so many different fronts that our businesses have to face in a global marketplace with all the technology and the internet and everything. It seems to me that we need our people to be more creative and to feel that they can express that creativity. What do you think?
Jim, that's a great question. Let me just suggest a couple things. One is people have to feel safe to express their ideas. And so it's critical that leaders who are facilitating sessions where people are sharing their ideas, that they really draw out and make individuals who are participating feel that it's safe to share their ideas. Because people normally... Their normal view is that it's not safe, and
right.
They've learned from experience that I'm just growing up. So it's really critical that you have a leader who connects with people to be able to do that. And just a couple of other things that come to mind. We love to encourage leaders to have what we call knowledge flow sessions, and that is for leaders to sit down with the people in their business periodically, you know, maybe quarterly, maybe every 4 months, somewhere on that interval, and say, well, here's what I'm thinking today. Here's what I'm thinking about the future of our business. But everyone has a different perspective, and you may see the business in a different way. Tell me what you think is right, what's wrong, and what's missing from my thinking. And then really encourage people to share their ideas. And it gives them voice, which is very motivating for them if they feel they're being respected. But it also can be a great source of information for leaders. And when you look at the stories of people out there in business, some, like Andy Grove is a great example at Intel. He made one of the biggest career decisions in getting out of the microprocessor business, and it really was based on information he had that he learned from people who worked on the front lines of the business, not people in the executive suite. But he was out there, and people felt safe coming to him to share that information.
MBWA, management by walking around.
Yeah, exactly. And just another point is... I think it's really important, and we encourage leaders to do this. Let people know that it's okay. Coffee breaks are actually a good thing. And what we're learning in neuroscience is that people need what my friend Dr. Edward Hallowell at Harvard Medical School calls the human moment.
Right.
And we need to connect with other people on average about every 4 hours, or else our brains start to short circuit.
It's one of the things that a lot of people who plan conferences don't get sometimes. They don't plan enough. They don't plan enough networking time. That's true.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, give us that website. Give us the website again, Mike.
Sorry.
The website.
our website is fireduporburnedout.com.
That's the name of the book, too, Fired Up or Burned Out. Michael Stallard. Mike, thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Well, Jim, thanks very much. Take care.
We'll do it again. Thanks. Quick break. Right back with Anita Rosen. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.